Welcome to Polesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Polesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Polesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. In his message titled, Of Faith and Panic, Reverend David Williams tells us that we like things stable and predictable. Life shifts and changes. When things get chaotic, Jesus wakes from his rest and asks why we are afraid. Have faith in your God and the fact that he loves you. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. And really, if you listen to it, it's not that Christmassy. It really isn't. It does have the word Advent. But otherwise, it's just a call in times of discord and churn and fear for God to be with us. And as we gather in this space, I think that's something most of us need. Because it is so hard in times where things seem dissonant and broken, where things seem torn by the winds of anger, torn by the winds of fear and uncertainty. It's so hard to hold on to faith, even though that is our strength in those times. It is much easier to be anxious. It's much easier to be angry. And in all of those things, we lose sight of what God is calling us to be and do as we follow Jesus. And so right now, as we move into our prayer of confession, let's admit then when the winds blow and things shake and feel uncertain, we don't rest on our faith as surely as we should. Let's pray that prayer together. Please join with me. God of grace and God of love, there are times in our lives when we are receptive to your work in us. Showing kindness comes easy to us. Being forgiving to others comes as naturally as breathing. Yet at other times we find those things to be nearly impossible. We feel anxious and storm-tossed, fearful and on edge. When we are in the grips of fear, grace comes less easily. When we are anxious, our broken places spread. Remind us, gracious God, that our faith is a bulwark. Help us to find our way through the storm, because the rain and the waves have us a little shaken. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Mark's gospel. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. You can follow along on page 39 in your pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's holy word. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them on a boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the mind of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I would make a terrible sailor. I'd be a terrible sailor. Back when I was a kid, I thought briefly about military service, and not for a moment did I consider the Navy. Not for a second, because I would be a terrible sailor. And I think the fault in that is my blood. I think, honestly, none of my heritage likes the sea. I am genetically predisposed not to want to go to sea, because I look at my blood. They're my Welsh ancestors, the Williams, you know, because if they're L's and W's and vowels, it's a Welsh name. The Williams, despite their seemingly cetacean name, the people of Wales would really rather have nothing at all to do with the sea. They are long-torsoed, bandy-legged people of green valleys and rolling hills, hobbitish folk who would rather farm and sing in male voice choirs, and who prefer their waters in lakes with perfect, motionless, mirrored surfaces. So no luck on that front. But I do also have Scots ancestors, the Clan MacDougall, who aren't actually native to Scotland at all. They would be my one hope, because they are descendants of Vikings, fierce and terrible Norse warriors who arrived on the Scottish mainland after crossing the wild North Sea in their raven-proud ships. And you would think that that genetic material would help, but it doesn't, because the MacDougalls, which means the dark strangers, the people who came from across the sea, those were the Vikings who stumbled onto the rocky shores of Scotland and swore that there was no way they were going to go back out there. "Ugh, I cannot take any more of that, Captain. Can we just stay?" Whichever way, I am not a big fan of the sea. I mean, it's beautiful and wild and glorious, and it's lovely if you're on the beach looking at it. But it moves in ways that the complex structures of my inner ears and digestive tract really do not appreciate. And that gets worse when there are waves, and worse still if there's a storm and the wind rises up and rain is spattering down heavy against the deck, and what was a subtle rocking becomes a carnival ride. I don't like carnival rides either, not the spinny ones, not so much. Who's been in a storm at sea, like a real bona fide, genuine storm at sea? I've only done that once. My whole family, years ago when the kids were little, had gone on a trip to Mexico, a little cruise across the Gulf on an intimate little vessel with 3,500 of our closest friends. And for most of the trip, it was just indistinguishable from being on land. I mean, the ship was half a click long and 13 stories high, and it had those computer-controlled stabilization systems that mean there's no movement at all. There's just nothing. I liked it. It was nice, you know, state of the art. And there were theaters, and there were shopping malls, and there were buffets open 24 hours a day, and it was nice in a I'm going to need to exercise when I get back kind of way. But on the second to last day of that particular cruise, word came that there was a Category 3 hurricane coming up in the Gulf. And it was coming up from the south, and we were going to need to make full possible speed back to the port at Miami if we didn't want to get caught up in the heart of it. And so we did. And the captain said, you know, things might get a little rough. Which they did. As we move further and further into the outer bands of that hurricane, the great floating city reminded us that it was a floating city, and it rocked and it shook. And the seas reminded us why for millennia human beings haven't taken them lightly. And my inner Welshman began to feel like maybe he'd not eaten something quite right. And at one point, while I was socked out in our cabin, lying flat on my back, as I tend to do when I'm not feeling that great, I'd stood up and looked out, and we had one of those balcony rooms. And as I was out, a great squall hit the side of the ship. The other side of the ship. We were, and the stabilizers were overwhelmed, and that whole city heeled over about 15 degrees to port. I think that's port. It's tidy, righty, lefty, porty, I think. Is that how that goes? And our cabin was on the port side, and it was 10 stories up, and being in a 10-story building as what looks like the churning earth moves up towards you is fun, and things came crashing down in our room, and there was the sounds of things crashing down around us, and there were shouts and cries from the hall, and there was the sound of a klaxon. Love the sound of a klaxon. And for just a moment, I wasn't nauseous because my heart had shoved my stomach aside in its rush up into my throat. And it was overwhelming. Storms and chaos tend to be. And as much as I don't like storms where ships are tossed and thrown, I equally don't like that sense that things that are stable, that should be your rock, that should be foundational, that those things are not. It's hard on all of our souls when those things shake and tremble. When relationships struggle, when nations and a sense of goodness or hope for the future feel more storm-tossed than we would like. We don't like it when those things that feel like they should be sturdy tremble and shift and rock under our feet. That makes us feel a little sick, and it makes us a little frightened. None of us like that sense. And the disciples didn't either. We hear of their not liking that from Mark's gospel today, again, as we continue on in Mark, as his simple, straightforward story of Jesus plays out. We've heard about how he was by the seaside on the shores of the Sea of Galilee with crowds gathered, teaching them with story after story, parable after parable, as his listeners struggled to grasp just what it was these stories were all about. And he finished up, and evening fell, and he said, it's time for us to move on. And so his disciples, along with Jesus, piled themselves into their boats and headed for the far shore in a small flotilla. And as so often happens on that flat, hill-ringed sea, a windstorm rose up. And the disciples, They knew that sea, and even though they were fishermen, and maybe because they knew that sea, they were a little bit alarmed. The boats were being thrown about. They knew the waters could be treacherous, and the boats that they built in first century Judea weren't really designed to effectively handle heavy weather. Their efforts to make computer-controlled stabilizer systems out of wood and hemp twine were not successful. Around them, the storm rising up, and the boats are struggling, and they're taking on water, and panic was rising in the hearts of the disciples. We don't know if we're making that far shore. And they look to where Jesus was, and where was he? He's curled up in the stern, asleep on the cushion, sleeping like a baby, not even faintly concerned. Mark does not record whether or not he was doing that slight twitchy thing you do when you're in REM sleep, but the implication is he's not worried about it. He's calm. He's appreciating his rest after a hard day's work, and the storm is just, you know, a little bit of that. But the disciples were not convinced of this, and they felt it was time to calmly discuss their concerns, so they gently wake Jesus up by saying, "Oh my God, Jesus, we're all going to die!" There's another translation, I'm sure, that presents it that way. That's basically what they said. "Do you not care that we are perishing?" I think they were a little more energetic than that. And Jesus blinks himself awake. He stands up, and he looks out at the leaping, surging sea. And with that annoyance you feel when it's Sunday afternoon and the home phone rings and your afternoon nap is interrupted by a call from Microsoft about how your computer is being hijacked and they really do need your information right now. I was napping. He turns to the waves. And we hear from Mark's story that calm pours out of him like a raging flood, like a tumultuous torrent of peace, that overwhelming Shalom Shabbat stillness of God. And the seas listen, and like a kindergartner who finally realizes that mommy's really not going to appreciate it if they don't actually take a nap this time, the seas grow calm. And then he turns to his disciples and he sighs. "Why," says the weary, now nap-deprived Lord, "are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And I think that's a worthy question. And it's one that we need to listen for ourselves and consider in those times where fear and unsettledness and the storms of the world confuse and break our souls. And that's an important thing for us to hear, that question. Why are you afraid? Particularly in this reflective, reactive, pathologically anxious time, because it is so easy to be consumed by the storm, to feel like the storm controls you, like you have to respond to it all, to feel all of it in yourself. And from the Skinner boxes of our social media echo chambers, that compulsion to fear and to panic rises up in us by corporate design, as the words of trolling agitators and professional gadflies scream for us to never look away. This is it. This is the end. And always be in a state of panic, 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 feeling the world's churning and rocking under our feet, feeling it stir till our head is dizzy and our heart is up in our throats. That's a path of existential nausea, as the sea of the world's chaos rocks and tumbles our souls. And it is the path of fear. And fear makes us weak, easily shaken, and easily controlled. And Jesus says, "Why are you afraid?" And Jesus implies very strongly, because the sea is calm now, you don't have to fear. And that's not to say that when things are torn and when things are wrong, you don't have to care. Nor does it constitute Jesus' approval of the broken way of the world. He doesn't approve that. That's kind of why he came to us. But he tells us, again, in that question, you don't have to fear. Why are you afraid? And reminds us it's important that we not. When Jesus says that and says what have you no faith? I'm reminded of the thing my father always used to tell me when he would take me out on the Great South Bay to go fishing as a boy. And there weren't hurricanes on the Great South Bay between Fire Island and Long Island. There was just little waves on fishing boats, which I guess I got more of the than he did. He would always say, look out. Find a point on the far horizon. Find the thing that is stable, the thing that is solid, and look at it. Don't stare at the floor. Don't close your eyes going, oh, I feel sick. Look to that stable place, that thing you can hold on to, and you'll find you feel maybe not perfect, but less sick enough that you can actually fish and stop bothering me. He didn't say it that way. Dad was nicer about it. And Jesus says, have you no faith? As a way of reminding us that our faith is that point to which we look that stills both our gorge and our clenched heart. That our faith is that place to which we look to say, yes, the storm is around us, but there's something more powerful than that storm to hold on to. So listen to his words when that fear rises up and the world shakes under your feet. Listen to him say, maybe in a voice that's less chiding and more encouraging, why are you afraid? Hear that as you step into a tumultuous world. And may it give both you and I strength for it. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
I suppose in some ways I'm not much different than I was when I was little. Little kids, I like things to sort of track the same way. I like a sense of things being stable and solid. I like it when this year's kind of like last year. You know, because when you're a little kid, a tradition is anything you do for more than 2 years. And then you just, well, that's what we do. It's always good. The reality is, though, that life shifts and it changes. And that can become unsettling to us. That endless shift can make us feel unsettled. And that's just the way of things. But then sometimes things feel even more chaotic. There are energies out there that seem to batter stuff that maybe shouldn't be changing. Things that we rest upon that we value deeply. Relationships, stable countries, things like that. We don't like it when those bedrock things start wobbling. And in the face of whatever storm we might encounter, Jesus wakes from his rest and says to our hearts, why are you afraid? Remember whose you are, remember your purpose, remember that faith that is so much bigger than the storm. Be certain of that, trust it, have faith in it. And get to the other side. And so whatever storm we might feel in our own lives, in our own hearts, or in the world around us, hear Jesus' words this morning. Not mad. Just, why are you afraid? Know what he means by that. And try not to. Now,
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.